Good morning, everyone. It's great to be back in the city of Buffalo announcing yet another transformational project that's going to give new homes to 28 families, affordable housing, as well as an incredible program to give our young people, our kids, 75 families, an opportunity to have a real head start in life with the Head Start program in the same building, and also interested in their urban garden in the basement that they're working on. So happy to be back in Buffalo and take a couple questions.
Okay, on top of questions first, John.
You referenced the pro-housing communities in your remarks. That came about after your initial effort, I guess more of the sticks effort, didn't work. Karis, do you feel like this new effort is working, or is it actually getting attention? Are you getting the communities that you want to take action?
Yes, on Friday I was out in Long Island, which has been a challenge in one respect. I mean, there's been a lot of resistance to these changes, and communities are starting. The town of East Hampton is now the first Suffolk County community that has been awarded the designation of pro-housing. We have about another 20 on Long Island. We have, I think, over 350 applications. Once word was out that this money is only available for communities who are willing to adhere to what we're looking for, communities that are being open-minded, that'll look at their zoning and their density and any barriers there are to building more housing. So I think it is being successful. And so it's early yet. I need to start seeing real numbers turn out, but the conversation has been open. We started that conversation. No one was talking about building before I introduced the topic, and now everyone's trying to persuade me that they're doing a lot in their communities, and I'm out there visiting and making sure that we're here to help them. So I believe it is working. Yes, I do.
Will you be putting any teeth into it to essentially, as far as numbers and requirements that to require that they meet a threshold in order to qualify?
No, this is what we have in place, is that they have to redo their zoning. They have to put in targets. They want to have a certain amount of growth per year. And in fact, our initial program was only going to ask for 1% growth a year downstate, upstate, like 0.30% growth a year. So our goals were modest. I believe that most communities will be able to meet them. Even with just the incentives that we've put in place. Many communities are already stepping up and actually exceeding that.
You talk about free childcare, but nothing's free. So where is the money coming from, and is it sustainable?
These are combination of federal and state dollars coming together and giving families the opportunity to have all the support they need. Head Start is mostly a federal program. What's happening in this building is federally funded. There's concern that if there's a change in administration, that those programs will be jeopardized. We hope not. These are transformational programs. And right now, that program is funded by the federal government. The other programs that we launched this summer to help working families is we can cap the amount of money that a family would have to pay for childcare to $15 a week for families of $108,000 or less, family of four. And that's a game changer for working families to put in.
It sounds like it's a trickle-down effect, because who's going to pay?
There's two different pockets of money. The first one, federal money, Head Start program, early childhood education. That's what we're concerned about in Washington. The state of New York also has its programs that we're making investments in with state dollars, because every time we can get a family, one of the parents who otherwise may not be able to work, we get them out there earning income. There's income taxes that we also will cycle into the state coffers and help us pay for it. So getting more people working is a good strategy overall for the state of New York.
Anyone on topic?
All right.
Governor, the Collins Correctional Facility in Attica, recently the Department of Corrections is saying several of their officers went unconscious. The union saying they may have been exposed to fentanyl. State police are saying they haven't found any evidence of that there. Really not a lot of answers as to what's going on with the officers at these facilities. What can you tell us? And we really have not heard much from you.
No, I appreciate that. And I just want to, first of all, commend the extraordinary work that our corrections officers do. I spoke to one at the Erie County Fair last night and just shook his hand and said, thank you. You are in a very challenging environment. We want to make sure that all of you are safe. We are continuing to wait for the results of the investigation that we launched by the state police, and I can certainly get back to you as soon as that investigation concludes.
Governor,
there's been statistics that say that since the HALT Act was initiated, that about 35% of incidents with inmates, whether it be on COs or inmate on inmate, has gone up. Do you feel that the HALT Act is working as intended when it went into law 22?
It was signed into law by my predecessor, so this was not something I had the opportunity to really understand at the time. That being said, it is the law now, and we're listening to our corrections officers and the representatives of them. They're coming to us frequently, and they're pointing to data which is concerning to me. We have to make sure that that environment is safe for the prisoners, but also, very importantly, for those who are willing to step into those difficult jobs and protect society in so doing. So it's something we're always willing to look at. It's fairly new, but we're willing to look at statistics that and find any resolution that's necessary.
Follow up real quick on that. Is there anything more that lawmakers in Albany, like yourself, other Democrats, Republicans, too, will come together to try to address the safety of corrections officers?
Right. And part of it is we're having a lot of trouble recruiting corrections officers. So the more we have in there, the safer the environment is. Two things have gone on is that the prison population has declined tremendously. It's gone down 50% since 2008, from about 75,000 inmates to 33,000. So you have fewer people being incarcerated. A lot has to do with the legalization of marijuana. A lot of those were low-level drug offenses. But we also have fewer people wanting to be corrections officers. So we're having a real shortage. We're trying to right-size these facilities, make sure that we have the right ratio of officers to inmates so they're protected, and we're trying to recruit. I'm looking at all kinds of ways we can. We just gave a major pay increase. We've had a lot more flexibility now. We're doing what we can to increase the number of people, because the more you have, the safer the environment is for everyone involved, and that's something we're wrestling with right now. But I'm looking at everything. We have a responsibility to everyone involved in our correction system to make sure that they're safe.
Governor, the Department of Health just released answers to questions about the RFP for the companies that could be assembled in the area for the CDPAP program. They made a change in the budget. They weren't able to answer some basic questions, like how many fiscal intermediates there are in the program, how many home care workers. They don't have those answers right now. Is the October 1st timeline that we're looking at feasible when we're talking about some of the most vulnerable people in the state?
We're taking care of the most vulnerable people in the state. I have committed to that. That is our top priority, and nothing will change in their care. But I want there to be more analysis and more scrutiny, which I have identified as a real problem in the system as the way it's being implemented here in the state of New York. Here's what I'm talking about. Some states like California have one fiscal intermediary, the person that's the go-between between the patient and the provider. They have one. We have almost 700. This has become a real driver of jobs and growth industry in a way that is wildly expensive for the taxpayers of New York. Since 2015, there have been enormous abuses in this program. 75% of the money spent on this program nationwide is spent in the state of New York. So I cannot ignore numbers like that. I have to say, how are we going to sustain programs like this? Are there abuses? Are there abuses? But the bottom line is we're not going to affect the care of those who are truly needy. The long-term cases where people know they're going to need help sometimes for the rest of their lives, we will be there for them. The October 1st deadline, we're trying to meet this, trying to have to right-size this program. One is may not be the number, but 700 sounds like an abuse of the program, and in fact, I believe it is. So we're still working this out. I introduced these changes in our last budget. No one before had actually raised this and said, is this exactly how we want to manage this program? And I say it's not. We can do a lot better for the taxpayers, but also those who are the important beneficiaries of these services.
Governor Hochul, the State Education Department is investigating a dentist in Lackawanna, and I understand that you don't oversee that kind of...
No, we do not.
Yet Senator Galvin says that the onus falls at your doorstep, and he says that there is a long delay in investigations of dentists, of doctors, of lawyers, of judges. Are you confident and are you satisfied that there, A, is enough people to investigate this kind of wrongdoing, possibly, or B, that this is taking a long time? Are you satisfied that this is
Are you satisfied with the length of the investigation? A, B, are you satisfied that there are a number of people to investigate?
Let me pose it this way. Can you ask Senator Galvin to point to the place in the state law that gives me jurisdiction over this?
I think he's saying
it doesn't exist. It doesn't exist. I don't have jurisdiction over any investigation into licensing of professionals. I will tell you this, I wish I did, but the legislature a long time ago empowered the state education department, which the state of New York has no authority over. The state, my administration has no authority over the state education department. All the licensing goes through them. I have tried to make changes. I have tried to do so much more. I think that all health professions should be regulated by the Department of Health that I oversee. Then I would have the accountability that you're asking for. But until the legislature changes that, and Senator Galvin knows this, I do not have that authority. Am I satisfied with the rate of investigation? No. But I can't make the change because my hands are tied, and that is frustrating for me as well.
Robert, just one last question regarding Edward Kent. Mm-hmm. People of Salamanca shot about 2 weeks ago. He ended up back in that community. A question for parole, trying to figure out exactly how that happened. They're not telling us. Will you direct your Department of Corrections commissioner to look into that case? Why wasn't law enforcement notified? The family knew nothing. The family of Penny Brown, you may remember that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. 25 years ago. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. I remember
what steps will you take as governor to make sure something like that doesn't happen?
There's a final parole revocation hearing on August 15th.
But will there also be an investigation to find out why the Cattaraugus County Sheriff's Office was not notified until just the day before they went in the ghetto at night?
Right.
10 o'clock at night, they made a phone call. Could have been out 6 days or so.
Right. He evaded the requirements that were imposed on him as a condition of parole, which was to check in with your parole officer in Dutchess County, and he did not do that. We are aware of that. We are finding out how he did that, but he is not the first parolee to be able to cut loose from the electronic monitoring system and to escape. The good news is that no harm was done during this time, and I know he was visiting his mother, but it is a risky situation when oversight is necessary of an individual, which is the whole reason for the release from prison, is that they'll be monitored and kept track of. I want to find out what happened there as well, but I do believe that this is, you know, it's unacceptable what happened. Unacceptable what happened. I say that very forcefully. And as soon as the state became aware, you know, he was picked up again. He is back, and he'll have a revocation of that parole hearing just in a matter of days. The family didn't deserve this stress. I say that right now, and I want to get to the bottom of it as well.